السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا حدا وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا، يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، يقول مولانا الكريم في كتابه الكريم: إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. حديثنا اليوم أيها المؤمنون هو عن هذا الأمر الهام والخطب الجلل الذي لطالما جهله الأكثرون وتمادى في غيهم في بابه الجاهلون، ألا إنه الأمانة بين الصيانة والخيانة. فما هي الأمانة؟ سؤال نجمل الإجابة عنه في مجموع خطبتنا: فرعوني سمعكم يغفر الله لي ولكم. فإيمان المرء إيمان المرء أمانة عليه صيانتها من الإشراك والإلحاد والكفر والردة والزندقة. قال تعالى في الحديث القدسي: إني خلقت عبادي حنفاء فاجتالتهم الشياطين، أي حرفتهم عن طريق الحق. وعقل المرء أمانة عليه صيانتها من الشبهات المضلة والمسكرات والمخدرات، وقلبه أمانة عليه صيانتها من الشهوات، وبصره أمانة عليه صيانتها من النظر إلى المحرمات، وسمعه أمانة عليه صيانتها من الاستماع إلى الزور كالكذب والغيمة والغيبة والنميمة والغناء وفاحش القول. قال عز وجل: إن السمع والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. ولسانه أمانة عليه صيانتها من القول إلا بخير، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من ضمن لي ما بين فكيه وما بين فخذيه أضمن له الجنة. وأنفه أمانة عليه صيانتها من أن يكون سببا في تلف عقله بالخدر أو قلبه بالخطر. وبطنه أمانة عليه صيانتها من كل ما هو محرم من المطعومات والمشروبات. ويده أمانة عليه صيانتها من أن تمتد إلى ما هو محرم من الدماء والأموال. ورجله أمانة عليه صيانتها من أن يسعى بها للحرام. وفرجه أمانة عليه صيانتها من غير ما أبيح له التمتع به، وكذلك في ستره من أن يراه غير من أبيح له. قال الله أيمانهم. وكذلك فإن أهله وأولاده أمانة عليه صيانتها في وقايتهم من أسباب الوقوع في النار. قال عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة. والداه أمانة عليه صيانتها من العقوق، فيبرهم ويرعاهم ويدعو لهم ويترحم عليهم أحياء وأمواتا. ورحمه أمانة عليه صيانتها من القطيعة، عليه صيانتها بالإحسان إليهم وعدم أذيتهم. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليحسن إلى جاره. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما زال جبريل يوصيني بالجار حتى ظننت أنه سيورثه. وضيفه أمانة عليه صيانتها بالإكرام جائزته 3 أيام، فإن زاد فقد استزاد من فضل الله عليه. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليكرم ضيفه. وماله أمانة عليه صيانتها من اكتسابه من غير حله او صرفه في غير محله، وايمانه امانه، وايمانه امانه عليه صيانتها من ان تبذل بالزور فتكون يمينا غموسا تغمسه في النار، ونذره امانه عليه صيانتها بالوفاء بها على وجه الذي نذر به، وعقوده المبرمة وعهوده المحكمة ووعوده القائمة، كل ذلك أمانة عليه صيانتها بالوفاء بها. وبالجملة أيها المؤمنون، فحياة المسلم كلها أمانة يسأل عنها يوم القيامة، كما قال عز وجل: فقفوهم إنهم مسؤولون. فعليه صيانتها على أكمل وجه امتثال أمر الله تعالى، إذ قال: إنا عرضنا الأمانة على السماوات والأرض والجبال فأبين أن يحملنها وأشفقن منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا، كان جاهلا بحالها وثقلها، فتحملها ظانا أنها بالأمر اليسير، ظلوما لنفسه، كثير المساءة إليها، قليل الرجوع إلى الله، قليل التوبة من الله. فعلينا عباد الله أن نتعلم كيف نقوم بالأمانة وأن نجاهد أنفسنا على ذلك، فإن النفس والشيطان والهوى كل أولئك دعاة إلى أن نخل بالأمانة لتزل أقدامنا يوم القيامة. اللهم أعنا على أداء الأمانات وعلى الوفاء بالعهود والعقود والنذور. عباد الله، أقول ما قلت وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين من كل ذنب وخطيئة، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله للجلال المحمود بكل حال، والصلاة والسلام على خير الرسل محمد وآله خير آل وأصحابه وتابعيهم إلى يوم المآل. أما بعد، عباد الله، فالأمانة التي أشفقت من حملها السماوات والأرض والجبال فخفنا منها واعتذرنا عنها وحملها الإنسان جاهلا بثقلها ظالما لنفسه إن ضيعها، هذه الأمانة هي دين يطبق وعدل يحقق، وهي ما أمر الله به بقوله: إن الله يأمركم أن تؤدوا الأمانات إلى أهلها، وإذا حكمتم بين الناس أن تحكموا بالعدل، إن الله نعما يعظكم به إن الله كان سميعا بصيرا. وقال زاجرا عن خيانة الأمانة: يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تخونوا الله والرسول وتخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. وقال: والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون. فقوموا أي عباد الله بما اؤتمنتم عليه من الأموال والأعراض والأسرار والعهود والمواثيق، وبما اؤتمنتم عليه فيما هو بينكم وبين الله من هذا الدين، تعلموه واعرفوه وتمسكوا به، وإياكم أن تضيعوه بانصرافكم عنه وعدم تعلمه، فإنه من أتى الله قد أعرض عن ذكره فقد كان له معيشة ضنكا ويحشر يوم القيامة أعمى. واعلموا أن أحد أضيع لأمانة ممن صرف شيئا مما هو لله لغير الله، أو اتخذ له مع الله إلها آخر، أو أتى الكهانة والعرافين، أو أتى العبادات على وجه المراءاة، أو قام بها على غير ما علمنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، سواء في ذلك الصلاة أو الصيام أو الحج والزكاة أو غير ذلك من العبادات. وأسوأ المصلين خيانة، الذي يختلس صلاته اختلاسا لا يطمئن فيها. فأدوا الأمانات وقوموا بالواجبات، ومع ذلك كله لا تملوا أن تسألوا الله عز وجل الثبات. واعلموا أن حق الأمانات وفاء بعد حق الله الاهتداء بهدي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، والإكثار من الصلاة والسلام عليه، كما قال الله تعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. واعلموا عباد الله أن الله قد أمركم بأمر، أن الله قد أمركم أمرا لا صارف له عن الوجوب شيء، فقال سبحانه: إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون، وأوفوا بعهد الله إذا عاهدتم ولا تنقضوا الأيمان بعد توكيدها وقد جعلتم الله عليكم كفيلا لعلكم تذكرون. إن الله يعلم ما، ولا تكونوا كالتي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا تتخذون أيمانكم دخلا بينكم أن تكون أمة هي أربى من أمة إنما يبلوكم الله به وليبينن لكم يوم القيامة ما كنتم فيه تختلفون. ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن يضل من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء ولتسألن عما كنتم تعملون. وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.
كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترون عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك فإن مع العسر يسرا إن مع العسر يسرا فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
استغفر الله.
تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله المبعث. عشرة أحبة، نلاحظ أنه بكل جمعة لا يأتي الناس إلى الدرس إلا قربا كان الخطبة أو حتى قربا جاء الصلاة فتسمعون الباب يفتح بين البيت وبين. وهذا حدث تفويت، ولا أدري ما سبب ذلك مع الناس في هذا المكان في هذه الوقعة جدا ليس وقع السوء حتى لو كنا خاطر السوء. أنا أقول الموظفون وهم في إجازة يوم الجمعة، فالتفكير إلى الجمعة سنة جاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وحفظ عليها وحث عليها وبين أن فيها من الأجور ما فيها، وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم أن الملائكة تقبل على أبواب المساجد تسكر وتحصي الداخلين في أوقاته، وما له من الأجور من تصدق ببدنة ببقرة بشاة بدجاجة ببيضة، فإذا رأى الإمام ممن طرت الملائكة في ذلك وقعدوا تستمع الخطبة ولا يشجلون أحدا بعد ذلك. وهذا الحرمان يا إخوان. فنحن نقول يا إخوان في هذا أولا تفويت لازم زائدة من مقصود الخطبة هو التوحيد، والأمر الثاني حتى لو كان الإنسان يقال له صاحب علم هو لا يحتاج إلى هذا التوجيه، الأجر المترتب من الإتيان الموفق يفوز يفوز يا إخوان. فعلينا أن نرجع لهذا الأمر، ما عندنا شيء يوم الجمعة، تنامون ما شاء الله تبارك الله في أجسامكم، فلذلك ينبغي عليك أن تفكر وضبط الإنسان ساعته على الحادي عشر، وجاء لما أنزل الناس إلى هذه يعني التأخير، وقد نؤخر أحيانا الصلاة من أجل يعني ما نرى، وأحيانا قد كما ترون أنا أخطب من الورق ليس عن حج عن الإطلاق دون ورق، لكن من أجل ضبط الوقت، لكنه الضبط أحيانا وأنا على المنبر أن أسترسل وأخرج عن نطاق ما وضعته كتابة من أجل أن يتوافد الناس، لأني أرى أنه لم يرد إلا ربما صفين أو ثلاثة، ولكن لما أكبر من الصلاة أرى نفسي استنجد أين الباقي الطهر ومن نفس المسجد إلى آخره، والناس يقومون لأداء ما فاتوا من الصلاة. فهذا يعتبر حرمان وتبويب، حرمان وتبويب. فواحد أمر إما أن تبخروا إلى الأخر، أنا على أن أصلي الجمعة الساعة الثانية أو إلى النصف الثالث ما أدري يعني، وهناك ناس أتم مبكر أتم من العاشر، أنا أرى أحيانا ناس في المسجد أرى من العاشر أناس يقولون هنا أحسن الله عند هذا الركعة، وهذا الحرم أمر على الناس. فبعد يعني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في حديث صحيح يا أخوان اسمع، النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في الحديث يذكر أن الإنسان في صلاة من تنتظر الصلاة. تدري ما معنى هذا؟ يعني أنت جاي الساعة 10 تنتظر صلاة الجمعة أنت تكسر الجمعة طول الوقت. صلوات جمعة صلوات جمعة، ربما ما تعيش إلى 40-50 سنة لكن تجد لك فيه من الجمع ما يكفي 200 سنة أو أكثر لأنك كنت تنتظر الصلاة. لذلك يا إخوان نحن على هذا، نسأل الله عز وجل يوفقنا وإياكم. نعم الذي لم يدرك الركوع الأخير مع أن جاء الإنسان مسبوق، جاء الإنسان مسبوق إلى الجمعة وقد قامت إن رضع الإمام من ركوعه الثاني، ولو أدرك مع الإمام الثاني بعد الركوع فإنه لا بد أن يصلي ظهرا، لا بد أن يصلي الظهر. كانت ويذكر أن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنه كان إذا فتت تكبيرة الإحرام تكبيرة الإحرام إذا فتته مع الإمام موضع تكبيرة الإحرام مع الإمام هو أن يقول الإمام الله أكبر حتى يشرع الباب حتى يستمع. علي كان إذا فتت تكبيرة الإحرام يقف بعد الصلاة عند الباب يقول عزوني يقول عزوني لأنه فتته تكبيرة الإحرام. كيف الذي فتته صلاة الجمعة كيف الذي فتته صلاة الجمعة؟ ولاحظ الأخ أنك أنت المحتاج لهذا أما الله عز وجل غير محتاج لك. الله غير محتاج صلاتك هذه لا تجد تموت لك إنما تزيد فيك أنت تزيد فيك أنت رزقك صحتك راحة بالك حفظ عيالك كل هذا يكون بالصلاة. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفقنا وإياكم من الحمد والرضا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد dear brothers and sisters, حياكم الله to this session, to this translation of the khutbah of the day which is titled by let's start with the khutbah al-haja. As usual, I said our Lord Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in his book, the noble book, the Quran, as in Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 72, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فأبينا أن يحملنها وأشفقنا منها وحملها الإنسان إنه كان ظلوما جهولا. Truly we did offer الأمانة which is the trust or moral responsibility or honesty and all the duties which Allah has ordained to the heavens and the earth, to the heavens and the earth, and the mountains. But they, meaning the heavens and earth, the mountains, declined to bear it and were afraid of it. Meaning, afraid that they do not stand firm for them, for their trust, and then they deserve the torment of Allah Ta'ala. But man bore it. Verily he was unjust, meaning to himself, and ignorant, meaning of the trust, of the results of carrying and bearing the trust. The heavens, the earth, and the mountains. It was said that Adam alayhi salam came and found heavens, earth, and mountains standing by something to him was very little. And he moved it by his hand. And he said, "What for you are standing?" They said, "Our Lord offered us the trust. But we fear. We fear it." Adam said, "If Allah Ta'ala offer me the trust, I will bear it. And he moved it and he said, "It's only little." And that's why Allah Ta'ala said, "Innahu kana zaluman." He was unjust to himself by unfulfilling the trust the way it should be. Jahulan, ignorant of its rights, and that it is very heavy. But the heavens, the earth, and mountains knew that, and that's why they declined to bear it. This was said in Tafsir Ibn Kathir by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So our believers is going to be about this important topic. Fail to bear it the way it should be. Fail to fulfill it the way Allah Ta'ala commanded. Verily it is the trust. Our speech today, our topic today going to be the trust between maintenance and loss. So what is the trust? What is the amana? This question we are going to answer in the whole khutbah of ours today. So bear me your ears, may Allah forgive your sins. First, the belief of a person is amana, and I'm going to use the word amana from now on to be so familiar. The iman, the belief of the person, is amana, that he has to maintain from shirk, from association, from denying, from disbelieving, from apostasy. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Hadith Qudsi, "Verily I created my slaves not but hunafa." And hunafa is plural of hanif and hanifa or hanifiya. The word hunafa is plural of hanif. And we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned in the Quran as a hanif. Now Ibrahim كان حنيفا مسلما وما كان من المشركين. And the hanif, the word hanif in Arabic, originally, the linguistic meaning of it is, and it means the curved. Curve. It's not the straight, it's the curve. And Ibrahim, and Ibrahim is described as a person upon a curved way, meaning he is upon a curved way from all the ways of others. It does not mean that the others are upon straight ways, but he is upon curved. No, it is curved compared to the ways of others. And that's why monotheism, Islamic monotheism, is called Hanifiyya, meaning it is bonded, it is bended, it is curved from the ways of shirk and kufr and apostasy and the like and disobedience. That is Islam. So the word Hanif means to straight up yourself upon the path of Allah, upon the straight path of Allah, which only leads to the Jannah, and which is the only path that leads to the Jannah. So it itself only leads to the Jannah. It cannot lead you to anywhere else. And at the same time, there is no any other way can lead to the Jannah but it. So that is the Hanifiyya. So Iman, Allah Ta'ala said in the Hadith, I created my slaves not but upon Hanifiyya, they are Hunafa. قتالتهم الشياطين. But the shayateen came to them and convinced them to divert. They convinced them. They did not divert them by force, but they convinced them to divert from that straight path. Not all, of course, but the majority. And we are talking about 99.9% of mankind. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that it is like one piece of hair, piece of hair which is white amongst the tremendous number of hair of a ball. How many pieces of hair does the ball have? Allah knows best. Millions. Millions of pieces of hair, maybe billions. Those who are upon the truth are only like one piece of white hair on a body of a red ball. Very thin, very tiny, very small. And the intellect of a person, the aql, is amana. So he has to maintain it from the doubts. You don't offer the doubts to your intellect and say, I'm intelligent, I can't know, I can't distinguish which is right, which is wrong. No. Allah Ta'ala said to the Prophet, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّوكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you follow or obey or listen to the majority of people on earth, they mislead you from the way of Allah. And He is the Prophet. What about you? You go and listen to the people of innovations and people of deviations, and then you say, I can't wait. No, you can't. Believe me, you can't. Many people before you said so, but they ended up misled. Let me just give you one example from the history. You all know Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala. What do you say, guys, about Ali? What do you guys say about Ali? Is he some good or someone not good? We al-Sunnah believe that Ali is the best fourth man in this ummah, in the whole mankind, amongst all mankind, after prophets and messengers, the best. four person is Ali ibn Abi Talib. It's Ali ibn Abi Talib. The best fourth man from Adam till last man. Exemption, the prophets and messengers. All the pious people, since Allah created Adam until last man, all these pious people, the best fourth one, Ali radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu was killed. Do you know that, guys? You know that Ali was killed? Who killed him? Those who cry for him now. Oh, they don't cry for Ali. They cry for Hussein. They don't care about Ali. They don't care about. They just cry for Hussein and Ashura. So, Ali was killed. Who killed him? You guys need to know these names so you know who are the people of deviations. Who killed Umar, ya akhwan? Who killed Umar? Abu Lu'lu'a al-Majusi. Huh? Sorry? Firuz, yeah. They call him Shuja' Firuz. Firuz Shuja'. Why I need to mention these names? Because you guys need to know this, because history repeats itself. Today, this guy, Firuz Shuja', they call him Baba Shuja'uddin. They call him Baba Shuja'uddin. Shuja' is the Arabic word, means brave. You know why they call him brave? His name is Firuz. Why they call him Shuja'uddin? Deen is Islam. They say that he is the hero of Islam, the most brave one of Islam. You know why? Because he killed Umar radiallahu anhu. He killed Umar. You know why he killed Umar? Did he kill Umar because he found Umar drinking khamr? So he was so angry why a Muslim drink khamr? Although this is wrong, you cannot kill one who drinks khamr. This is Khawarij methodology. But you know why he killed him? Because he was so angry because Umar was standing in the mihrab for Salat al-Fajr, leading the prayer. There where he killed him. They call him Baba Shuja'uddin. And they have a big, big mazar in Iran. They have a big, big mazar. A grave. They are liars. First of all, he wasn't buried in Iran. He wasn't buried in Iran. He was killed in Medina. But they make this fake mazar, although mazar is haram in Islam, but all, yani they, it is haram and they lie. See how many darknesses? How many darknesses? He's the killer of the second best man after prophets and messengers. And he killed him in the mihrab of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he killed him when he was leading the sahaba, the best of mankind after prophets and messengers. And he killed him when he was leading them in the best prayer, Fajr. And he killed him in the best land, Medina. Right? And they, yani, now he's, I don't say guilty, he's dirty. He's too dirty. But again, they praise him. Not only that, they lie and say that he's buried there. It's a lie, he's not buried there. Huh? Kafir, he was Majusi. Majusi, meaning worship the fire. Someone might say, okay, why Majusi is in Medina? He was a slave of Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. He was a slave of Al-Mughira bin Shu'bah. And one day, Umar radiallahu anhu, and Al-Mughira only had him, Al-Mughira had him, because he was a good smith, he manufactured swords. He was very skilled in that. One day, Umar radiallahu anhu passed by him, finding him making a knife of two sharp sides. Umar was wondering. First time you see knife with two sharp sides, edges. He said, a knife with two sharp edges?
He said, "Yeah, Umar, I'm preparing it for a day." Immediately Umar looked to his companions and said, "This ilj," ilj means the Kafir non-Arabs. He said, "This ilj is threading me. It's threading me." He knew, Umar, that this man is going to kill him one day, because he saw how Umar is too tough with the kuffar. These people praised the one who killed Umar, and they praised the one who killed Ali, but they did not praise the one who killed Uthman. You know why? Because the one who killed, yani, killed Uthman, although he's from the Khawarij, but he's not with the, he's not with them. But they speak evil about Uthman, very bad about Uthman. And the one who killed Ali. The reason why I brought all this is to speak about this. Don't, yani, put your brain, don't put your intellect to the doubts. Say, "I can't figure out which is right, which is wrong." No, don't try to do that. The one who killed Ali is called Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim. We're not so concerned about Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim. He's not the topic of our story. But Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, who killed Ali, again, he killed Ali when Ali was going to Fajr prayer to lead the Jama'ah. In the Fajr of the 17th of Ramadan. We all know that Ali participated in the Battle of Badr. What day was it? 17th of Ramadan. But Allah Ta'ala did not decree that he be killed as a martyr in the Battle of Badr. And Allah Ta'ala kept him for a day. This day came on the 17th of Ramadan. Fajr prayer, he was going out of his house, going to the masjid to lead the Jama'ah. And this man killed him with a sword, poisoned for a number of days. Laid in the poison for number of days. He was killed. This guy, Abdul Rahman ibn Muljim, to the hell. But my concern is, a person who was from amongst the pious people, and he was only diverted from the right way because he did this thing. He used his brain, his intellect, in order to distinguish the doubts of the people of Bidah. This man called Imran ibn Hattan, he is one of the narrators of a hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. But this man had a cousin, a female cousin, who he wished to marry. But this cousin was upon the methodology of Mu'tazila, who denied the names and attributes of Allah. He was advised, "Don't marry her, she's from Mu'tazila, she might influence you." He said, "No. No, I'm a student of knowledge. I'm a narrator." He tried to use his intellect, and instead of protecting it, and then he married this girl, and she influenced him. And he then turned to be on the bank of the killers of Ali. And he wrote a poem praising the one who killed Ali. Praising the one. You see, killing Ali maybe is not as bad as praising the one who killed Ali. And he named him Taqi. And one who names the killer of Ali Taqi must name Ali is not Taqi. Witness, Ali is not Taqi. Look at that. He was a student of knowledge, but he used his intellect. and instead of protecting it and trust his Lord and ask him to protect him, he went into it and he was misled. He said, يَا ضَرْبَةً مِنْ تَقِيٍّ مَا أَرَادَ بِهَا إِلَّا لِيَبْلُغَ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ سُلْطَانًا. He said, what a hit from a pious person who only intended with it to be in a high level with Allah, meaning as a reward or before Allah. Look at that. So that's why I say your intellect, your brain is amana with you. You do not own it. You do not own it. You cannot do whatever you want with it. You have to use it the way Allah told you to use it. That's it. And Allah told you to avoid people of innovation, people of deviation, people of shirk, people of kufr, people of whatsoever you avoid. Be only with the people who Allah Ta'ala commanded His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to be with them. يا أيها الذين آمنوا وسلم واسمع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه. And be patient with those who واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم. Those who call the Lord upon the Lord morning and evening, they only seek His face. So you don't go to those people of deviation and innovation and say, I will see what they have and I will debate them. I will not say, no. You don't need to do all this. If Allah wills, Allah would have made all mankind upon guidance. So don't try to use your intellect in such a way. Your heart is amana. So you have to, your intellect is amana. You have to protect it from the doubts and you have to protect it from the drugs, weed, whatsoever, hash, marijuana, heroin, cocaine, all these poisons you avoid. You don't own your brain. Remember that you don't own it. So don't destroy it. Don't destroy it. Your heart is amana with you. You have to maintain it from the doubts. Be careful. The doubts comes to the heart, as the Prophet ﷺ said. تعرض الفتن على القلوب عرض الحصير عودا عودا. The fitan, the trials, are offered to the heart one by one, like the cob. Your sighting, your eyes are amana, so don't use it in looking to haram. Don't use it in looking to into something haram, something forbidden. For you to see. Your ear, your hearing is amana. Your hearing is amana. So maintain it from being used to listen to the false, like lying, backbiting, slandering, and songs. Your tongue is amana. Your tongue is amana. So maintain it from saying or speaking the evil and false. Say good or keep silent, as the Prophet ﷺ said. Your nose is amana. You have to maintain it from whatsoever can be inhaled and destroy your brain or your heart. What can destroy the brain, ikhwan? Through the nose? Drugs, heroin, cocaine. What can destroy the heart, which goes through the nose? Perfume of women. Don't try to chase, snuff women. Don't be woman dog. Don't be a woman snuffer. Because many people are like that. Many people are like that. Your stomach is amana. So maintain it from anything of food and drinks which is not permissible, which is haram. Meaning, and from haram of wealth and blood. Don't take properties of others with no right, belongings of others with no right. Don't spill the blood of others with no right. Don't kill, don't injure anybody with no right. Your leg is amana, so maintain it from walking to the haram. Your private part is amana, so maintain it from whatsoever enjoyment which is not permissible for it. And maintain it from being seen by anyone who's not allowed to see. So you have to stand with this amana, this trust. Your family, your wife and your children are amana. So protect them from anything that can lead them to the fire. As Allah Ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ. Or you who believe, protect yourselves and your family's fire, that the fuel of it is only rocks and mankind. Your parents are amana, so maintain it from this dutifulness, and be dutiful with them, and be obedient to them, and take care of them, and supplicate for them with mercy, that Allah Ta'ala bestows mercy upon them if they are alive, whether they are Muslims or not. You ask Allah Ta'ala to guide them and bestow mercy on them. If they pass away and you know that they died on Islam, you ask Allah Ta'ala to shower their graves with mercy. But if they pass away on kufr, you stop supplicating for them. Your rahim, meaning your kinship, are amana, so maintain it from being boycotted. Try always to have good relations, good contact with your kinships, even if you don't like them, even if they don't like you, even if they don't do good to you, you still need to have good kinship with, good relation with your kinship. Your neighbors are amana, whether you like them or you don't, whether they're Muslims or not, whether they're relatives or not. So maintain this amana by being good neighbor and stop your harm from being extended to them. Your guest is amana. Your guest is amana. So maintain it by being kind, at least for 3 days. You cannot minimize. At least for 3 days. But if you do more, Allah will give you more. As the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, let him do good to his neighbors. And he whoever believes in Allah and in the last day, let him to be kind to his guests. Your money, your wealth, it's only savings with you. So first of all, maintain it from being earned from illegal ways, from haram ways. And second, maintain it from being spent on something haram. So always make sure that your income is purely halal and it is only spent on what pleases Allah Ta'ala. Your oaths is amana. So be careful. Do not just swear any and every time. And do not swear by other than Allah. And whenever you swear by Allah, be honest and stick to it. Your vows, nadr, is amana. First of all, you don't need to vow. But you ask Allah, if you want anything, you just ask Allah. But if it happened that you made a vow, then you have to fulfill it. And remember that Allah Ta'ala sees you and knows about you. All the contracts that have been signed or agreed, and those obligations been taken place, or which taken place, and promises which are still standing, all these are amana upon you. You have to maintain them by fulfilling them and sticking to them, whether you like it or you don't. You have to. And as I said at the end of this part of the khutbah, and in general, the life of Muslim is all amana. The whole life of Muslim is amana. You are going to be asked about it in the day of resurrection, as Allah Ta'ala said, وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ. And stop them, make them stand there in their place. They are going to be questioned now. So you have to maintain the whole life of yours on the best way of what your Lord commanded you to. As Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّا عَرَضْنَا الْأَمَانَةَ عَلَى السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ فَأَبَيْنَا أَنْ يَحْمِلْنَاهَا وَأَشْفَقْنَا مِنْهَا وَحَمَلَهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. So fulfill the amana. And remember the saying of Allah, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, O Muhammad, and every other Muslim, say as a Muslim, إِنَّ صَلَاتِي, my prayers, وَنُسُكِي, my perform my rituals of Hajj and Umrah, or Nusuki by the meaning my slaughtering, my life and my death, all for Allah, all belong to Allah. And then I ended up this part by asking Allah to help us on fulfilling the amanat, the amana, and fulfilling the oaths and promises and vows and contracts that we make. And then I began the first, second khutbah by saying, by praising Allah and sending peace and blessing Abu Rasulullah. And then we're afraid of holding them and carrying them, and excuse from the Lord that they carry them, this amana, which man carried it, knowing not the heavy weight of it, and the consequences of it, and results, oppressing himself by and maintaining it the way it should be. This amana is a religion that you implement and justice that you fulfill. And this is what Allah Ta'ala commanded, as in the ayah of Surah An-Nisa, ayah 58, where Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ نِعِمَّا يَعِظُكُمْ بِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ سَمِيعًا بَصِيرًا. Verily Allah commands that you should render back the trust to those to whom they are due, and that when you judge between men, you judge with justice. Verily, how excellent is the teachings which Allah Ta'ala gives you. Truly Allah is ever all here, all seer. And here Allah Ta'ala said, warning Guinness, and maintaining amana, or losing the amana, or being untrustworthy and dishonest. Allah Ta'ala said as in Surah Al-Anfal, ayah 27, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. Or you who believe, betray not Allah and His Messenger, nor betray knowingly your amanat, things entrusted to you, and Allah, and all the duties which Allah has ordained for you. So Allah Ta'ala warned you from betraying the amanat. All those amanats we mentioned, not only what people save with you, even what people save with you from belongings or secrets or like that, you have to hold them. You have to maintain this amana. Because Allah Ta'ala praised the people of faith, the people of Iman, as in Surah Al-Mu'minun. At the beginning of Surah Al-Mu'minun, all are praise from Allah Ta'ala to the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ. To the end of the ayat. In ayah number 8 of this surah, Allah Ta'ala said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those who are faithfully true to their amana, all the duties which Allah has ordained, honesty, moral responsibility, responsibility and trust, and know that there is no one who could be worse betrayer than one who betrays the amana between him and Allah by implementing any part of worship to other than Allah, fulfilling any part of worship for the sake of other than Allah, or setting up a partner along with Allah, or visits the witchcrafts and fortune tellers, or show off with his worships, or perform the worships on a different way from the way that Rasulullah ﷺ told us, whether in prayers, fasting, hajj, zakah, or any other prayer. And the worst person in betraying amana of salah is the one who does not have the khushu' in it, and just prays so fast, striking it. So fulfill the amanat and stand for all the obligations that you talk and covenants and oaths. And beside all that, When you do all that, you still need to ask Allah Ta'ala to grant you guidance and thabat, meaning to be firm on the right path, and know that the amana, the type of amana which has the most right upon you after the right of Allah, after the amana of Allah, is the amana of the Prophet ﷺ by following him and doing as much as you can of as-salah and as-salam upon him. As Allah Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ahzab in Ayah 56, إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. And Allah sends His salah, graces, honors, blessings, mercy on the Prophet, on Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, and also His angels. Ask Allah to bless and forgive him. All you who believe, send your salah on Muhammad, on him, meaning Muhammad, by asking Allah to bless him and mention his name by the highest creation. And you should greet salah him with Islam way of greeting, the way that Rasulullah ﷺ told us, As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulillah. And you got to know, all people, that Allah commanded you with the command that there is nothing that can divert it away from what Allah Ta'ala said, as He said in Surah Al-Nahl, Ayah 93, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وأوفوا بعهد عليكم كفعلون ولا تكونوا كالتي نقضت غزلها من بعد قوة أنكاثا تتخذون أيمانكم دخلا بينكم أن تكون أمة هي أربى من أمة إنما يبلوكم الله به وليبينن لكم يوم القيامة ما كنتم فيه تختلفون ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن يضل من يشاء ويهدي من يشاء وَلَتَسْأَلُنَّ عَمَّا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. This ayat from ayah 90 to 93, Allah Ta'ala said in the first ayah, as in the translation of the interpretation, verily Allah enjoins al-adl, which is justice, and worshipping none but Allah alone, and al-ihsan, which is to be patient and performing your duties to Allah totally for Allah's sake and in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in a perfect manner, and giving help to kith and kin. All that Allah has ordered you to give them wealth, visiting, looking after them, or any other kind of help, and Allah Ta'ala forbids al-fujur, and it is all evil deeds, illegal sexual acts, disobedience of parents, politicism, and to tell lies or to give false witnessing, or to kill alive without right, and al-munkar, which is all that is forbidden by the Islamic law, polytheism of every kind, disbelief, and every kind of evil deeds, and al-baghi, which is all kinds of oppression, And then Allah Ta'ala said, يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. He admonishes
you that you may take heed. وَعَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِ اللَّهِ,
and fulfill the covenant of Allah by the bay'ah or the pledge for Islam. When you have covenanted and break not oaths after you have confirmed them. And indeed, you have appointed Allah your surety. Verily Allah knows what you do. And then Allah Ta'ala warned us about something, and He said, be not like her who undoes the thread which she has spun after it has become strong by taking your oaths as a means of deception among yourselves, lest a nation should be more numerous than another nation. Allah only tests you by this example, who obeys Allah and fulfills Allah's covenant, and who obeys Allah and breaks Allah's covenant, and on the day of resurrection, He, Allah Ta'ala, will certainly make clear to you that wherein you used to differ. A believer confesses and believes in the oneness of Allah and in the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the disbeliever denies it, and that is their difference amongst them in the life of this world. And had Allah will, He could have made you all one nation, meaning upon guidance. But He sends astray whom He wills and guides whom He wills. But you shall certainly be called to account for what you used to do, meaning in this worldly life. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from all types of misguidance and unjust and breaking the oaths. والله تعالى أعلم. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. If you have any question related to the topic, or inshallah we go ahead with the other dros inshallah. نعم يا رشيد. السلام. Yes. In what way? Okay. He was tough by the meaning that he, Umar radiallahu anhu, as well as Abu Bakr and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before them, as Allah Ta'ala described him, محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. Meaning, they are so merciful with the believers. They forgive them, and they, يعني they ignore any type of annoying that comes from the believers. They don't consider it. They don't stop by it. But with the kuffar in the battle, in the field of battle, they are very harsh and strong, and they fight very strongly. But in the field of judgment and business and treatment, you find them different, even with the kuffar. So he was tough with the kuffar in the field of battle, but in the land of peace, and the terms and times of peace with the kuffar, they used to be, they used to act nicely with them. And that's why Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, when Khalid ibn Walid and Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah, when Abu Ubaid ibn Jarrah conquered Al-Sham, Palestine, the Pope there, the head of the church, said to him, "We will give the key of the church of they call it Kanisatul Qiyamah, the, I don't know what they call it in English, it's the major church of the Christian." A messenger. There was no phones, no telegrams. So it took a month for a man to go to Medina and tell that to Umar, and Umar came to Sham. He did not say, "What this kuffar want?" Ignored them or whatsoever, but he came, and he did not go on an easy journey by plane, but he traveled for a month to Sham just to do what the Christians wanted. When he came, he told the Pope that if it is not the people going to take it as a sunnah after me, I would have prayed in the church. So see how he is now, dealing nicely with the Moran, and that's why many of the kuffar came to Islam. That's why many of the kuffar came to Islam. Now, and that's why, Islam, although began in Mecca with the Arabs, but it expanded even during the time of Rasulullah Sallam. And Najashi, the king of Ethiopia, Abyssinia, those days, who were Christians, he embraced Islam even before seeing Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Waraq ibn Nawfal, who was a very knowledgeable person in the scripts, he, once the Prophet Hud came to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he became a messenger, he hears some of it, he accepted Islam. And Salman al-Farisi, who came from Iran, he accepted Islam, and many like. Now, Bilal from Al-Habasha, Ethiopia, and many. This is all because of course, first of all, Allah Ta'ala guides whom He will. But they were honest in seeking the truth, first. The second is that the way Rasulullah Sallam used to deal with people. Na'am, and Abu Bakr and Umar. In the battle of fields, in Badr, they were all Quraysh. The enemies were all from Quraysh, from Mecca, who moved the Prophet ﷺ out of his town, Mecca, who oppressed his people, who fought against him, who took their properties and this and that. But and there in the Battle of Badr, he was tough with them, and they killed him. He killed 70 of them. But when he conquered Mecca, and he had many of them arrested, he showed mercy. And he said to them, "What do you think I'm going to do with you now? After all these long years of fighting, oppressing us, what do you think I'm going to do with you?" They said, "Akhun Kareem, Ibn Akhil Kareem, you are a kind brother and a kind nephew." He said, "Then go, you are free." He did not even say to them, However, become a Muslim, whoever enters Laki's door is saved, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan is saved. He did not say whoever become Muslim. And when he arrested the remainings who did not go into these three places, because whom he arrested and talked to were people who did not even obey this and enter these three places, but they were arrested in the street. So he brought them and he said to them, okay, what do you want me to do now? And then he said, you go, you are free. Those people all immediately returned back as Muslims. They said, it cannot be something from human like that. It must be something different from what people have. It must be religion of Allah. So that's why they become Muslims. And if you look through the history of Islam, regardless the number, but the number compared to the abilities, you find that during the time of Umar, Islam expanded the wider ever, even more than today. Although today Islam is in the whole world, but compared to the ability of da'wah and this, and you know, today we have many methods. Many, many methods. And the other thing is that today, the da'wah of haqq, when you compare it even to the time of Rasulullah, it is very small, very, very small today. Because, yeah, we have a large number of Muslims, but very number of muwahideen. Very, very little number of muwahideen. People upon tawheed. Very little number. So that comes from like this. All of them, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, they all like that. They all were treating the people with justice, as Allah Ta'ala said, with justice. Now, when they treat the Muslims, they treat them with mercy. When they treat the non-Muslims, with justice. And when I treat a kafir, a non-Muslim, with justice, he cannot tell me why you treat your Muslim fellow with mercy, but you treat me with justice. Because justice is the minimum level of treatment. I cannot go lower than that, it then become oppression. But you cannot ask me why I give you a minimum right. I'm free. I'm free to give you the minimum or more. The minimum or more. And even with the kuffar, those kuffar who are even enemies of us, we treat them with justice. But those kuffar who do not have enmity with us, the meaning that they don't fight us, they don't accuse us, we do good to them. Not only justice, but even more than justice. We treat them with more than justice. As Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, as we mentioned this many times, and how Rasulullah treated the people. Na'am, wallahu a'lam.